I've enjoyed the service. Anywhere that I can feel the Spirit is a good place to be. And I've certainly been able to feel the Spirit tonight and every other night we've been here. I told somebody back there in the house that Brother Strode, he has wonderful ideas. He just don't know how difficult it is sometimes. So I'd have to shake hands with everybody in this building. Just about everybody in this building. Somewhere, sometime, someplace has been a help to me. I looked out tonight and I started to say old friends, but I don't want to use that word. That makes it sound like they're old, but I see friends from long ago. I see more recent friends. Some in between. And it's just a blessing to see us all gathered together with a common salvation, having a knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and be able to sing the songs with understanding and to share the fellowship and the feeling. These folks that has some kind of a religion and there's no feeling attached to it, I feel sorry for them. I'm thankful tonight to be here and I ask for your prayers. Brother Don Curtis clerked at my ordination service in 1981. If you're lost and without God tonight, we ask you to give your attention to the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, the Scripture says, and hearing of the Word of God. I want to read just about four verses of Scripture that's found in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. And from this, we'll try to take a text and a subject. Most of this is the words of Jesus. It all is about Jesus. He was going about with his ministry. I've often thought about 3.5 years, they say, is all that he had. He did more in 3.5 years than we would ever do in 300 years. Every word that he spoke was important. I engage in a lot of idle conversation. Jesus was about the Father's business. And I believe he set that example for us to be about the Father's business. The Scripture says in the 18th chapter, in the first verse, it says, at that time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They wanted to know who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. His disciples. I suppose each one of them hoped that he'd say, well, you are. But he took a little child and he set the child in the midst of them. And he said, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Except, he said. That word is a very powerful word. It means unless. It is not optional. That's what Jesus was saying. Unless you are converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. We know that little children are very innocent. Their hearts are tender. They've not hardened their hearts yet. They're very trusting. Children are very trusting. Sometimes to their own harm, but a little child can be led very easily. They'll follow. Except ye be converted. The word means to be changed. Changed, converted. Brother Moran preached last night a wonderful sermon, and he preached a lot of things, but I believe he started out, and I'm not going to preach his sermon. He already did that. But some of you weren't here last night, so I can refer to some of it. He started, I guess, where we always ought to start, but he started by establishing the fact that man is a sinner in the sight of God. Totally depraved. That doesn't mean, I believe he said that he's as bad as he can be, but that sin has infected every part of man. Every part, the whole of man is infected by sin. God is a holy God. And so he says that we must be changed. And I hope that we all realize, and I believe we do, that none of us has the power or the ability to change ourselves. It's impossible. It can't be done. People try all the time to change themselves. Much of the world doesn't understand the Word of God to the degree, I guess, that some of us do, but they try to be a little better. They try to do better. Give up this sin or that sin, but that doesn't alter the fact that we are sinners to the very core. So he said that except we be converted and become as little children, that we can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus had already spoken very similarly to this back over in the 13th chapter when his disciples came to him and they said, why are you teaching in parables? Jesus said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. That is, to the unbelievers. To them it is not given for them to understand the mystery. So he was speaking in parables because they had rejected him, would not come to him, and so he would let them go, if you will. He said, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Those that are in sin, carnal minded, cannot understand the things of God. But God, by His grace, and through the aid of the Holy Spirit, He can open up the hearts of those that will allow Him to, and open up their minds. And if He will draw them to Him, and He will help them to understand enough to come to Him. Jesus said, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, that is, these unbelievers, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. I know some folks, they even say that they don't even believe there is a God, and it's not as far away as you think. I personally know some. They say they don't see any evidence of God in the world. How can you not see the evidence of God that is all around us? How can you not see? But sin blinds the mind, hardens the heart. And that's the condition that the world is in. That's the condition that many was in the days of Isaiah. It's still true today. I guess it will be to the end of the world. Jesus said, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted. They could be converted. They would have been converted. They would have been changed if they would have only come to the Lord. But they refused, just as many today. Jesus said, you must be changed. You must be converted. A sinner must be converted to a child of God. That is beyond the reach of man. That is beyond the ability of any man to affect that. But it is not beyond the power of God to do that. In the writings of the Apostle Paul in Romans, in about the 7th chapter, Paul said, we know that the law is spiritual. The law, he's talking about the Mosaic law. He said, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Sold under sin. Bondage. Sin is a bondage. As a slave would be in bondage. I'd rather be a slave and know the Lord than to be in bondage to sin. The greatest bondage that there's ever been is the bondage of sin. And only God can deliver from that. He said the law is spiritual. Even the law was designed to reach to the spiritual part of man. The scripture says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law was designed so that they might be able to see their sin. Designed to teach them that they were sinners in the sight of God. And that law could do that. But what it could not do is to save them from their sin. The law could not save anyone because it was about works. And so God had to devise a means by which that those that were sinners could be converted and could be changed and could be removed from their state of sin and be made holy and acceptable in the sight of God. The Apostle Peter and John, they went up to the temple one day. And there was a man laying there at the gate of the temple that was called Beautiful. The Beautiful Gate. The Beautiful Gate that led into the temple. I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I know I'm going to make it. And whatever gate that I enter in at will be the Beautiful Gate. It will be the Beautiful Gate where I enter in. But this man was laying there at the temple in Jerusalem. He was lame from birth. And he asked an alms of Peter and John. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him, the scripture said, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And he said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he reached down and took him by the hand, and the man stood up. He never walked in his life. But he stood up on his feet. His ankle bones were strengthened by the power of God. And he leaped. I suppose there was many Jews there. It was the hour of prayer. Probably crowded. And those that were there saw this man leaping into the air with joy because he'd been healed. And they ran upon Peter and John, the scripture said, and Peter saw the people that was pressing in upon them, and he said, why marvel ye? Or why look ye so earnestly upon us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man walk? Peter didn't want anyone to think that he had made the man walk. He said, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and just, and desired a murder to be granted unto ye, and killed the Prince of Peace, whom God hath raised from the dead. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Jesus is the one that made the man whole. Peter said, I know I know that you unbelievers, I know that you did it ignorantly. He said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent and be converted. He said, be converted. He didn't say convert yourself. He didn't say change yourself. He said, be converted. And only one can do the converting. That's Jesus. Peter, he said, repent. Repentance and faith, I believe they are universal commandments. I believe God has told the whole world to repent. He's already commanded the whole world to repent. Universal commandments, if you will. And in fact, the Apostle Paul, on his third missionary journey, he was on his way back to Jerusalem. He called for the elders at Ephesus to come down. And they came down, and he was rehearsing to them what he had preached everywhere that he'd been. Paul was my kind of preacher. He preached the same thing to everybody that he preached to. He didn't have one kind of sermon for one group, one kind of sermon for another group. He preached the truth of the Word of God to everybody that he preached to. And he said to them, he said, testifying both to the Jew and also to the Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. And that's what we still preach. Repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. And that is a part, I believe, of the conversion that must take place within every one of us. If you have never been converted, if there has never been a change wrought by the power and the Spirit of God, maybe you don't have what you think you have. I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation. I never do that. But I'm just telling you that the salvation of the Lord involves being changed from a sinner. To a born-again child of God. This conversion, it's a work of God. It's a work of God that takes place inwardly upon the whole being. Sin, I said a while ago, has infected the whole being. The mind and the heart, even the very spirit of man is affected by sin. And only God can change us. You know, I was thinking about this being converted. I don't know about any of you, but I can almost tell you the very moment that that work began on me. It began when God first revealed to me that I was accountable to Him for my sin. That was by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins by revealing to us that we are accountable to God for our sin. The carnal mind. The scripture says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind. Yes, it has to be changed. And I can tell you exactly when God changed my mind about that. When an old preacher came one night after preaching a sermon, and I was sitting in the pew and I had a songbook up in front of my face, and I thought that I had everything well covered and well hid. You see, my mind had said that I could just wait. My mind said, don't even think about going to an altar and pray tonight, because you're in a church where you're a visitor and you don't know anybody and nobody knows you. If you're in this building tonight and you don't know one single soul, there is somebody who knows you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He knows you. Not only does He know you, He knows your name, but He knows your heart. He is the one that searches the hearts of people. He searches the heart. The dark recesses of our heart, He searches and He knows what's there. He does that by the Holy Spirit. When that preacher came to me that night and laid his hand on my shoulder, he said, son, if you ever get saved, he didn't even ask me if I was lost. He didn't have to. God had already revealed to him. He could tell. He knew. His name was Brother Howard Taylor. Some people know him. I changed my mind. I went to that altar that night. Lord, I'm thankful I did. Because it was a long enough journey anyway. But if I hadn't have got started then, I might have never got started. That was just the beginning. In the book of Jeremiah, the scripture says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, the only one that can know the heart is God. But He does. He knows our hearts. You know, you can tell people anything that you want to tell them. They might believe it, they might not believe it, you can still tell them. But you can't lie to God and convince Him of what you say. If you're lost, you're lost. If you're 6 years old or you're 60 years old or plus, if you're lost, you're lost. And you must be converted. You must be changed. If you have any hope of that place called heaven. This conversion that the Lord was talking about. It reaches to the very spiritual innermost part of man. In the third chapter of the book of John, Jesus used a little different terminology, but he was really talking about the same thing. You know, and Scripture uses lots of different terminology depending on what's being said or who's doing the speaking. But in that third chapter of John, Nicodemus came to Jesus. He was a Jew. He was a doctor of the law. But he was lost. He didn't understand. He didn't really even understand after Jesus explained it to him. But he came saying, "We know that thou are sent from God, because no man could do the things that you do except God would be with him." He believed that Jesus had some great power, but he didn't understand who he was or what the power was. Jesus' reply was not, I don't think, a direct answer to what he said. When Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except." There's that word again, except. Unless. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, he was talking about a spiritual birth. Nicodemus didn't understand. He thought he'd have to be born again of his mother. But Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth. Being born from above by the Spirit of God. That's what has to happen. Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again." Yes. Those that are sinners, the world tries to hold up the easy way. Or what they think is the easy way. What they think that people would be willing to do. But that's not God's way. Because God knows that you must be changed completely from the inside. And just some doing a little something, it just won't get the job done. It doesn't change this sinful nature that we have. And we have a sinful nature that goes to the very core of our being. We must be changed to where that we are spiritually like God is. I think Brother Moran might have quoted this verse last night. But I'm gonna give it to you anyway. I'm talking about being born again of the Spirit of God. Being converted. And in Titus 3 and 5, the Scripture says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." By the washing of regeneration. You know, when COVID came along, they said if you'd wash your hands with soap and water and you washed them just right for so long that that would kill those COVID germs. I believe what they said. And I washed my hands more the last 18 months than I probably washed them in the last 10 years. When I was just trying to get rid of COVID. But I want to tell you, there is nothing that you can use that will wash away your sin except the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the washing of regeneration. It is in being born again. In the work of regeneration that we are changed and we're made a new creature. A new creature. A total change. That's what Jesus was talking about. In Ephesians, the scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then it says, for we are created in Christ Jesus. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That is that spiritual creation that is affected when we come to Jesus, when we repent of our sins, when we believe with all the heart, when we surrender ourselves to His will. He converts us. Conversion. Well, the power and the will of God. The scripture says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things. That's what happened to me. As a 14-year-old boy at Old Union Church, where some of these people sat every Sunday, I go there every once in a while, and I go up and I look at that front bench, right where it happened to me, where I was created a new creature. It makes people different. The things that we used to love, we now hate. The things that we used to hate, we now love. Created a new creature. Converted. Born again. Has it happened to you? Are you born again? Brother Don Curtis told me a few months ago he'd gone to Africa on a mission trip. If I get this wrong, he'll correct me afterward. He was on an airplane. He met a man from Africa. Brother Curtis, this fellow was affiliated with some religious school or something there. Brother Don met him. He said to the man, he said, have you been saved? He said, the man stuck his hand out, shook his hand. Brother Curtis like me, or I'm like him. He's older now. He said, have you been born again? The man stuck his hand out. He asked him something else. I questioned him about three or four times. every time the man shook his hand. I think he come away feeling that the man had it. Have you got it? Oh, tonight is a night of decision for people. If you have not been converted by the power of God, then you need to seek God for the salvation of your soul while he may be found. Because he will convert you. He will change you. He will give you peace and he will give you joy. He will give you eternal life. Except ye be converted, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven. God bless tonight. I'd like to have a song. Everyone stand and let's sing.